So I interrupt this regularly scheduled podcast programming to talk about the recent scandal that just broke in America and Nigeria about the Invictus Group and how the FBI arrested like 80 Nigerians in this scam/fraud. And it just got me thinking, this is a problem. Why? Okay, so someone I know, I just saw that he was his group was awarded a scholarship before, and now they rescinded it based on that. That's messed up. Also, it just got me thinking about all the other times fellow Nigerians, lovely human beings, have just gone abroad and just made a spectacle of themselves and inadvertently painted all of us with a bad brush. I mean, Nigerian Prince scandal is world famous. You know, everybody has heard about it. And the ironic thing is, it's Nigerians that are doing the scam because they know that other people don't do enough research to know that Nigeria is not a monarch, is not ruled by monarchy. So I put part of the blame on them. I'm like, guys, you know, get some knowledge. Get some knowledge if you have some knowledge. Or guess what? You have the internet. They send internet, they send emails. You can also use it to look up stuff, you know. Very, very helpful, very, very productive, you know. So that's not my rant is about today, though. This is kind of going to be a rant because I'm not even that pissed because it's not going to affect me that much, but it has affected people I know and it affects good people. So it's very annoying when Nigerians go abroad and just do stupid things. It's very annoying because there's no way for them to know that you will be different from other Nigerians, you know. So you won't blame them when they start restricting entry into their countries, and why they'll start denying people that were always getting visas before and all these kinds of things, you know. It's very, very annoying. It's not going to affect me that much, by the grace of God, because I already schooled, you know, in Canada and stuff, so it's not that serious. But imagine if I hadn't, and I'm trying to go to Canada or America. I didn't even apply for a new American visa, because it's not that I came back, maybe like a month or so later, they said they had stopped the Dropbox application. And then shortly after, then I started requesting all these things, like your social media and all those kind of things. And I was like, I know that, yes, America, they're very heavily security conscious and stuff, and I don't think it's only directed at Nigerians. However, I feel like the reason why Nigerians are scrutinized more harshly is because of all the rubbish that our fellow brothers and sisters are doing over there, you know, going there, staying illegally, for God's sakes, you know, all this kind of rubbish that just does not need to happen. It's very, very, very annoying, you know. So now legit businesses will be scrutinized when they're trying to go to America because it's like, oh, are you real? Or are you going to scam us? You know. And someone said something, I think it was Nathaniel Bassey, he said that, I mean, and it's a fact anyways, that you know, you think that you're cheating the system, you think that you're defrauding people, meanwhile, you know, you could be watched. So the reports, whatever, they have been watched for 3 years. So you know, they thought they were getting away with it. They didn't know that the FBI was already onto them. They just needed to get enough evidence so that they could catch all of them. You know, because Nigerians love this thing of feeling like they are so wise. They feel like they are the wisest people on earth. Yeah, not. Everybody is wise. What's your problem? It's annoying. Like, it's so annoying. You think they are so wise and everything. Should be now, everybody, everything has been caught. Nigerian Prince scandal is all about the world, this Invictus thing. Same thing, world stage, you know. Whole illegal immigration thing. Should be that's why they had to stop. I mean, I feel like one of the major reasons they stopped birthright citizenship in the UK for the Nigerians, not the Nigerians, Somalians are there as well, other countries, African countries, but Nigerians were part of it, you know. Wherever Nigerians go, there will be a story, you know. Nigerians will do a good thing, and then they're God, it's so stressful because I feel like the bad eggs are fewer, but bad news travels faster and leaves a lasting impression rather than good news. So it's really hard to blame them for focusing on the bad news. Like, it's very hard for them to not be unbiased when everything they know, what they've heard, is mostly the negative things. You know, yeah, okay, there's a girl, she got into five Ivy League schools. Those stories, they don't make headlines now, unfortunately. The two Nigerian boys that were involved in Jussie Smollett's incident. God. I swear, this year Nigeria has just been trending for the wrong reasons. You know, Burna Boy will come out and kill it, then somebody will come out and do something stupid. You know, it's and I'm not even saying that other countries aren't like this. But it reminds me that they have like stepped up already. They are recognized for, like, they are more known for their good things. So obviously they are still Americans. But we know America, you know, if you say gun violence now, America number one, we give it to them, that's fine. Gun violence, they're very violent people. Yes, in their country, very violent people. When they go abroad, some of them be very stupid. Some of them, you know, cultural appropriation, you know, they are there. Things like killing animals, hunting animals that are not supposed to be hunted, you know, they are there. Nobody is saying that those things are not true or anything like that. But also, America is not the biggest economy. It's still the country that most people want to immigrate to. Even though, like, if you think about it for just 2 seconds, you would not. But anyways, that's my personal opinion and personal bias, probably. So that's that. You know, every country has, you know, their reputations and the stereotypes of what they represent or what they are. However, I'm talking about my own country because this is where I'm from. So unfortunately, as long as I have this green passport, they see Nigeria, they'll start seeing the Invictus people, the people that go and stay illegally in countries. When me, I've never stayed illegally a day in my life. I don't scam people. You know, if you want to say you have no choice but to scam, I don't really know. You know, I've not really spoken to people. I can understand that maybe times could get really tough and stuff, and hunger could be a problem. I get that. But as well as your next step to scam, if you have a laptop, I can choose it for good instead of evil. You know, so that if you have a laptop, you that broke? No, you're not. So that's my own opinion. If someone has a better opinion, or someone has some explanation as to why people go into that life, you can definitely let me know. Let me know, send me a message, let me know, because, you know, while I understand desperation and poverty, I also understand it's, at the end of the day, everything boils down to choice, and by the choices we make, whether that's for good or bad, whether the choices we make, fortunately or unfortunately, you know, we're a pursuit of happiness. You know, it's based on a true story. So the guy was homeless, and he did not choose to steal or to whatever. He persevered, and he suffered, and he made his child suffer, and he felt really bad about it. But end of the day, he made it. Terry Wright Trent, Dr. Terry Wright Trent, same thing. You know, she went to America and everything. She went through school. I was not there with her, but I don't think that she was going to start cheating. I don't think she was going to start sleeping with men to get money, especially they live in the trailer, you know. She didn't say, oh, let me just go and start doing whatever it takes so I can get some money. You know, she didn't do that. In the same way, I really don't know. But yeah, it's very annoying when you go and and then funny thing, Nigerians, they know how to, what's the word? Outrage. We can be outraged. He's like, oh, how dare they? Something, oh, they're ruining our good name. They're inside our own country. no, Nigerians are our own worst enemies. I don't want to say too much about this just because I don't want anybody to come from my head. But our own worst enemies, we do the same things or even worse in our country. And funny thing, that's not to get on that plane to leave the country. Our brain, there's a reset button. I know that plane, the air just resets you real quick, you reset. suddenly you're going there, you're obeying all the laws and everything, and nothing is seeming inconvenient to you. But in your own country, like, everything is very inconvenient. It's just taking forever and stuff. It's weird. I was like, you know, what they say. They say that the real you is the you when nobody's watching. But yet, you just be behaving like, excuse me, behaving like there are multiple versions of yourself. And it gets very, very annoying. I dislike stereotypes to the max. How is this limited to your best life? So now somebody wants to go to school in America. Let's say they did their undergrad in Nigeria. Their parents couldn't afford to send them. Most people do anyways, is they do their first degree in Nigeria. And then they want to go to Canada, America, wherever, UK, for their master's degree. Now, some Nigeria comes to go mess it up for them over there, making the immigration laws tighter and making them scrutinize Nigerians further. So now, a genuine Nigerian that doesn't have a lot of money but has enough money to pay for their school fees, they paid for their school fees already and stuff, you know, applies for study permits, and they will deny you. They won't give you an actual reason. They will just give you a form letter that has a variety of reasons that you should now go and, you know, decipher and figure out, so magically guess which one yours is. It's very annoying. Once again, this did not happen to me, but because I mean, it happened to me. I got my this 10 years ago, man. Thanks my parents. You know, I mean, better if I was born there, but the second best thing, so I'm not complaining at all. You know, sent me out as soon as possible, did my undergrad, master's, everything there, so I'm all good, you know. And I wouldn't even be this glad if this country, I'm not saying that this country has no hope, but I'm not saying that at all. I do believe that there's hope, but the country presents itself like there's no hope, if that makes sense. It presents like they're fighting a losing battle, you know, because people keep on asking me, why did I come back, and you know, yeah, I didn't really have a choice, but I also wanted to come back, so if that makes sense, I wanted to come back because obviously I have things I want to accomplish in Nigeria, but yeah, I had no choice, I had to come back at that point in time. I guess they're more like, oh, you know, I should be like, just, I can't wait to go back, you know. And it's always, I feel like before I was more like, you know, Nigeria is fine and everything, but the more I stay here, the more I just realize, I understand why people that come back, go back. It's just, it's not easy. I have to just say that it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy being upright. It's not easy being honest. You know, it's not easy going against the grain, going against the stereotype. It's not easy at all. I mean, you're the only one. It gets really hard because you. It's strength of character, yes, but in a way, start realizing that something about yourself are changing. You just have to think again and be like, is this worth it? You know, when something begins to encroach on your integrity or make you begin to encroach on your integrity, is it worth it? You know, the answer is definitely going to be no. You know, like for example, you know, before I came here, and you know, punctuality is a thing. In Canada, everything, you better be punctual. You gotta be on, you know, on time. You know, if you're even 5 minutes late, you're panicking. You yourself are panicking. You're like, oh God, you know. You try not to be that late, and if you're going to be that late, you call ahead or tell someone, like text somebody, like, oh, I'm going to be late, or traffic, whatever, you know, you get to like here. It's not the case at all. You know, people come to work at all times, and I understand why, partly, I understand why, because they stay after hours to do work, not for the fun of it. They stay after hours to continue working. Civil service. I work currently serving the government agency, so it's not even meant to be like full on civil service. It's meant to be like a hybrid private public something. But it runs like pure civil service. So, you know, the everything is very, very civil service oriented. And because I don't have a civil service experience in Nigeria now, so I don't know how things are supposed to be done. So I just came in and everything. I used to come early, those kind of things. I got to do, like, obviously people already told me, like, they're supposed to do work and stuff. So, like, it made me happy when I saw that, okay, in my own department, we're actually doing work. People would come to work and be busy throughout the day. You know, some jobs, there are some down days. There's always down days in every single job. There are down days, there are downtime. Jesus, wow. There are down days, there is downtime. You know, so that's fine. However, so I was glad about the fact that it was busy from day one. So I was like, okay, cool. It's nice to be busy and stuff. That's fine. And I started observing the pattern. Like, the first week, we left at 5 o'clock. You know, me and the other girl, new girl, we'd leave at 5 o'clock, and everybody else would be like, that's why I like, yeah, even at 5, like, oh, we don't close at 5 here. And literally, you see at 5, like, nobody's making a move. Everybody's still, like, very comfortable. Nobody has even realized it's 5 o'clock. You know, and I'm like, so far, are you serious? You know, and so, I mean, when you're not going more into the group of things, you understand, you know, stay to stay till 6, stay till 7. You know, that's, like, normal, regular life. And we still live before them. So, you know, sometimes they say the next day they're telling you they stay till 8, they stay till 9. You know, someone stays till 8, till 9. Then they get home. When they're going to, you know, spend time with their family, when they're going to rest. And they want to come back to work the following day at 8 a.m. While some people do it, here's the thing. These people don't get paid overtime. Yeah. So, you know, well, I kind of understand. But then, like, also, I think of companies in Canada that they kind of require the same thing from their employees, but they don't also pay overtime. And, like, I understand, and I also, like, but then basically my point is that it's like having me slack, you know, like, the point is, and I start when people come and they go back, because you realize that you're now slipping, you're now becoming like what most people are here. You know, most people are very used to this system, the slackness and all these things, and it can affect you personally if you're not careful. You can just become very complacent. You can just become overrun or overcome. The system can overcome you if you're not careful. So, you know, it's something that I have to watch personally, because I'm realizing that if I just, you know, just go with the flow, just make come talk at 10 o'clock. You know, obviously I don't want that. You know, I like punctuality. I like, you know, being at work on time, having things to do and stuff. And then I can make my choice if I want to stay after 5, or if I want to leave at 5 on the dot. It will be my choice. You know, but stereotypes are a thing. Obviously, stereotypes come from somewhere. You know, it's not like stereotypes are random or whatever. They come from somewhere. You know, that's like, you know, it's not like all Nigerians or their country, they are wonderful, and then you just go there and start misbehaving. No. It's like from the house, you're already misbehaving from the house. You know, it's like you're taking your child out. Your child already misbehaving from the house. But I don't know if you're used to the child misbehaving in the house, so yes, you don't even pay attention to it. When you now get to the place you're going to, and the child is just displaying, then you're just like, hello, is everything okay? What is wrong? You know, like, why is he behaving this way and stuff? So it's more shocking, but it's actually not new behavior. But you did not curb it in the house, so yeah, you're now, you know, trying to, you know, you're now shocked when the child displays the behavior outside. I feel like it's the same thing. And just all kinds of things. Today I was in a cab and we got to a red light, and the guy was complaining that, oh, you know, I have to wait here. Meanwhile, you know, the road is free and I can just go, but I have to wait here because the light. Oh, because if I go, then, you know, is it road safety? I don't even know. You know, somebody will come and pull me over, you know, for, you know, running a red light and those kind of things. And I was like, I just like laughed, like chuckled a little bit. I was like, okay, because I was like, you know, many times you've been in Canada, you stop, if you don't want at that intersection, you will wait there. If you haven't, you will wait there. When they say it's your turn to go, you will go. Till then, you will be there. Idle in your car at the stop line, you know. And it's not trying to cast Nigeria or whatever, but just say everything starts from the house. So if you're not behaving well in the house, you're not going to behave well outside. And I don't understand why they don't think about the fact that their actions affect other people, you know. It's not about being an ambassador or whatever, but in this case, yes, because you are affecting your country. Nigeria had more access to countries like 20 or so years ago. Even 10 years ago, the access was better. Now, our access is so limited. Yes, partly because of the people in power now. But also because of the behavior, because if the behavior was okay, the people in power would not have any reason to come at you specifically. At least other ones, they're targeting them for religious reasons. You know that, okay, this one is biased, right? Okay, this is biased. Whatever. This one is not biased. This one is, you're just doing the most, doing the worst. And they're just doing all these things. They're just embarrassing your country and just putting us in a bad light, you know. That's how people meet. One of my friends, he says he has to crack this joke that, oh, he's not a Nigerian prince. He works with IT stuff. I'm not really a tech savvy person. He does one of those coding things, or a bunch of coding things. So he does. Anyways, so he said that he has to crack that joke, you know, because when he says he's Nigerian, you know, they're kind of like, yeah. And it's like, why this guy? Meet him, he's a teddy bear, he cannot hurt a fly, he's definitely not going to scam you. Then he now has to cry those kind of jokes because of the nonsense name that people are going to use to rubbish us, you know, those kind of things. It just makes me feel sad. It makes me feel very sad that if you bad eggs have just spoilt it for everyone else, you know. There are a lot of well-intentioned well-meaning people here, I believe, that just want to just travel abroad to visit, travel abroad for the fun of it, you know, or travel abroad to get a better get some education, get some experiences. Travel is part of life. We're supposed to be able to travel around the world, you know. Travel is a form of education. You get to expose yourself to different cultures, not just through reading, but actually experiencing that. There's different cultures, different weathers, different kinds of people, different, you know, different terrains. That's what the fun is, you know. That's why the world, different parts of the world are different. So I feel like Nigeria, we have to do better. We really have to do better, you know. We really have to do better. I'm not pleased at all by the fact that, you know, I really, really don't like the fact that, you know, one person's actions affect other people. I really don't, because I really wish there was a way that you could screen people's intentions. I really do. Yeah, read their minds is what I mean, seriously. I don't mean this literally, because I'm not trying to become a mind reader and invade your privacy, no. I mean, I really wish there was a way to truly, truly determine people's intentions and just be like, look at the person and just know that this person is honest. So that in that way, we don't punish other people for other people's mistakes. Right now, it's very unfortunate that other people are getting punished for some people's mistakes. You know, because obviously now that means that if you have any business in America, the FBI is going to be watching you, because just in Nigeria, they're going to be watching you. That's basically what it means. So if mistakenly just do any small mistake, even if you just miss your taxes, they're coming at your head. So I don't like it. I'm not happy. I don't like the fact that, you know, this is just like, we just keep on being known for these kinds of things. We don't, you know, we're not known for good things, and yet Nigerians do amazing things, you know. Nigerians, like when they talk about the most educated people are black people, do you know how many of them are Nigerians? A lot of them. Nigerians are doing really well. When they go to America, they go to Canada, they kill it. Of all the people I know, how many people are screw-ups? Sorry for that terminology, but how many of them were screw-ups? Most of them were not. Most of them did well. Most of them are doing well, you know. It's been those two or those three that you hear about. Meanwhile, you only hear about all the 59, the 80, 85, you know. Anyways, I'm going to end it here, because this one, it just makes me so sad and just weak. Not only for myself, but for other people, for the good people that are trying, that want to be honest and stuff. Because I'm also thinking about myself now, because I'm thinking about, okay, in the future, I apply for something, for some funding or whatever. And if, you know, shortly before that, somebody did something stupid, you know, then I'll now be suffering when you can tell that I'm not, you know. But because I'm, you know, Nigerian, you now have to screen me for that. That was painful. It was really painful, you know. I hope that somebody that is doing Yahoo or something hears me, and I hope that you just change your ways. And I hope that people in Nigeria that will be doing rubbish, and yeah, but when you go abroad, you always, like, you behave normal, maybe you conform there, but when you're here, you're just non-conforming. You realize that you just lack self-control. I hope that you know that you lack self-control. Me too, I'm talking to myself as well. I hope that you realize that you lack self-control, and I hope that you pray for help, and that you make decisions to give yourself control, because without self-control, we're just like animals, and that's the truth.